Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
As you may know, the Big Ten and now the Pac-12 have decided that they will not be playing football this fall. Instead, they're going to try to do it in the spring. They're trying to postpone. It's easy to say, well, they're adults, let the players decide if they want to play. I mean, a university deciding to have a football season involves more than just the football players. Like, there's a lot of other people who may not want to participate. But I guess, at least in that situation, everyone has the option. If you want to, you can be involved. If you don't, you don't have to.
I think it's going to be, I think they'll come with a broad base. Yeah, I think they'll leave it up to the state, but I think it's going to be broad base. Expect this to be the first sport where fans are in the stands. Because of how big the stadiums are, I think it's very reasonable to believe that you could get 20 to 25% of the people in there and simply, you know, almost do like you, when you have, when you're at a restaurant and you're on your phone, or when you have that buzzing thing, whenever it buzzes, it's your turn to go to the gate and come into the stadium.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. twitch.tv/ESPN975, and you can comment there and listen on the breaks and hear some of the things we talk about. If you missed the first 2 hours, all available on podcastarena.com, and lots of good stuff, some sports, some COVID, some famous Freds, things like, just pretty much a little bit of everything here on a Tuesday. So we have Taylor here. Let's go to college football analyst Taylor McCarr joins us, former Rice quarterback. What's going on, man?
You know what? I'm sitting here looking at the, you know, having the reaction like the rest of the world, the collapse of college football. But other than that, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. And it's funny because I didn't mention your name earlier, but it, you know, you're one of these guys who your analyst role puts you into a kind of a special category, like a specialized cat, like. You know, ESPN is not calling you and saying, hey, let's talk Major League Baseball with Taylor McCarr. I mean, you're a college football guy. So obviously people like you, and I use Joel Klatt as an example, because Joel Klatt was out saying, we've got to have football. We've got to have football, because Joel Klatt doesn't really have a job if there's no football. I mean, do you see sort of both sides of it? Obviously, you'd like to be working this year. You'd like to be calling college football games. But do you also see the reasoning as to why some of these guys aren't looking to play?
There's no doubt. And I have tried my best, and I think most people have, to truly see both sides of this. And you're right. I would love to be involved in calling games this fall. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. It looks more and more hour by hour like we're not going to have a season. And I think these universities are having to weigh that. Because it's not just, it's easy to point to the players, the coaches, the staff, but this will have a trickle-down effect across the board, and a lot of it we're not going to realize for the next 6 months or even a year, likely. I think there's a lot of different directions this is going to go. There's going to be layoffs. There's going to be sports that are eliminated because of the lost revenue. And, you know, for guys like me, I have a career. I have something that's calling games for me as an analyst is something that I love doing, but I feel there are a lot of people that are going to be really impacted by this that are beyond just the people that you see on Saturdays.
Do you feel like this decision is being made, like, I hate to say politically, because it does seem like there's a lot of the blue states are saying, no, we're not playing. Red states are saying, we want to play. But more geographically, like the southeastern part of the United States seems to care about football significantly more than anyone else. That's why they're slow to, or they're not going to cancel their season. Whereas the northern part of the country and the western part of the country have already said, yeah, not us.
You're exactly right. And whether or not you want to make it political or not, the fact that there are portions of the country that are using doctors from their region to prove up the case that they want, regardless of your region, sort of speaks to they're arriving at these decisions and they have evidence to support what they want it to support, right? I mean, the lead cardiologist of the Mayo Clinic is supporting the SEC and college football moving forward. The Pac-12 produces the document that they made these decisions off of, and it's pretty damning of all of the reasons why they feel like it is unsafe to have college football this season. So whether or not you want to make it political, it is. This is a really polarizing topic and a very polarizing time. And I hope, like everybody else, that there's a way to make this happen in the spring. I don't think that's going to happen. But right now, you just hope for best case scenario.
Yeah, I'm of the belief that if football doesn't happen in the fall, it's just not going to happen this year. I don't think spring football is a realistic possibility. Taylor McCarg, ESPN college football analyst, former Rice Owl quarterback, joining us on the program. Do you think that a lot of these I don't want to say the schools, but the conferences, and that there's coaches, like the coaches are saying, we want to play. You know, Jim Harbaugh says, I want to play. The University of Michigan president says, we don't want to play. Like, who all do you think is involved in making these decisions?
I think ultimately these decisions are being made at the president of the university level and the commissioner of these conferences. The Big Ten had a call after this a couple days ago when this first came out, and that's when the hashtag let us play and all of that came out. And then the Big Ten has a follow-up call that includes the coaches. There's a lot of pushback, and I don't think the coaches' opinions are really being weighed because, candidly, because these are not employees, I don't think the coaches' and players' opinions matter nearly as much as people think they do. And it really comes down to liability to the universities, first and foremost. If a kid gets it and dies, regardless of any waiver that gets signed, these schools are not going to be protected from that. And the second piece is lost revenue. Their goal is to get butts in the seats for whenever the season is played. If it's in the spring, they're going to try and have people in the stands. Because for the overwhelming majority of programs, they cannot survive on TV dollars alone. They need people in the stands. That is the number one reason to take it down a level that the SWAC pushed it, and most of the 1AA conferences that have pushed it. It's safety, and then they have got to have people in the stands to capture that revenue. There's no TV dollars. And even for most of Division I, the MAC, Conference USA, Mountain West, they've got to have people in the stands. So for both of those reasons, I think it really has come down to the university presidents and not the coaches.
When you think about the Pac-12 and what they came out and said to a couple weeks ago that they weren't going to play unless all these things happened, do you think that made the Pac-12's decision for them not to play a little bit easier?
It certainly helped. I think there is fear amongst these universities of players unionizing and having a voice, because as soon as these players start to dip into the pockets of the money that comes into college football, you're going to see it dry up across the board in other parts of the university. I mean, make no mistake about it, football drives the ship for all of college athletics, and it's not even close. College basketball supports, but it is not even close that college football drives the ship for these programs. And the moment these players start tapping into that money, you're going to see smaller sports eliminated, staff eliminated. And I think there's real fear of these universities. These universities are fearful of these players having a voice and them losing out on that control. And I think partially for them, this is a little bit of a breather for them to figure out what their plan's going to be for these players that are trying to unionize. Is probably not the right word, because I don't think they're going to be able to form a union. Northwestern tried to do that in 2014, but it's going to be something that gets the players a seat at the table.
Taylor McCarg joins us. What kind of advantages would there be from a recruiting standpoint and things like that if, let's say, Clemson plays, Alabama plays, but Oregon, USC, Ohio State, they take a season off? What kind of recruiting advantages would it give to those schools that do play?
For one season, certainly there will be an advantage, because we don't know how long. I mean, ideally, you've got to imagine that we're beyond this by fall of 2021. But if you're a recruit looking at am I virtually certain that we will play no matter what? If you're right, if the SEC and ACC move forward, and the AAC, any conference that moves forward, they're going to have an advantage over the teams or in the conferences that have opted out. I don't think it will be as substantial as people may think, I am also of the opinion that before this month is over, we will likely, the NCAA will step in, and this is going to get pushed completely to the spring in an attempt to play in the spring. But in the interim, it is an advantage for these programs that are planning on playing.
And, you know, something else that came out in the last hour or two, that men's college basketball, no college basketball is going to be played until at least January, at least in the Pac-12. And I'm guessing that ends up spreading a little bit as well. And it's just going to end up being more and more difficult to get these things done. Taylor, best of luck to you this season. I hope that we have college football. I hope we get to hear you calling games, because I certainly want to see it. But it does seem like today was not a good day for college football. I'll say that.
No, it was not. And I'm right there with you. One way or another, football will be back. My biggest fear is what happens to virtually every other sport right now. I think there's the fallout from this that people are not thinking about because it's not right in front of them, is what happens to all the student athletes and staff and everything that goes into what we love about college athletics. I think that's really in jeopardy right now.
All right. That's Taylor McCarg, ESPN college football analyst. Appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well,
he's good, man.
He is. And it sucks that he might not get to call games. I hope there's some games. I do. And he's kind of an up-and-coming guy. This is,
he is.
It sucks that he could lose an opportunity here. But, I mean, that's a lot of people, unfortunately.
And by the way, he's at Team McCarg 16, McHargue 16, if you want to follow him on the Twitter.
And, yeah, he does a really good job.
Yep.
And hopefully we'll have some college football on for him to talk about this year.
All right. I got to tell you guys about Elate Health. Let's talk about it. BPH, enlarged prostate. These are really fun conversations to have, right? No, they're not fun to have. You know what's not? You know what also isn't fun? The treatment, the surgical treatment options. If you have a frequent need to urinate, increased urination at night, difficulty starting, if that's you or anyone you know, it could be BPH, and you don't need surgery, because the surgery involves a drill in your pee hole, and that's awful. What you should do is call Dr. Andrew Doe at Elate Health. He doesn't want to put you in that drill. He wants to do PAE. He is the first doctor in Houston to do this procedure. It's an advanced, minimally invasive procedure that uses X-ray technology to fix your problem, not a drill. It's an outpatient procedure. You're in and out in a few hours, and it's done right in the office. And nobody in Houston has done as many of these procedures as Dr. Doe. They're covered by most insurance plans. Learn more today. 832-850-4618. That's 832-850-4618. And check them out at choosepae.com. That's choosepae.com.
If you can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show, we've got just the thing for you. And it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
Say what?
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Talking with the Twitchers about kind of a bad look for the Texans to give a credential to a child rapist and not Josh Ennis. Just want to throw that out there. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So, don't want to dive too far into this, but did you happen to see how the actual NHL draft lottery went out last night? Apparently,
I didn't see it.
Yeah, well, apparently there's a huge controversy because everyone thinks it was rigged for the Rangers because he dropped the Rangers ball in first accidentally, and then they had to take it out, which, oh, it's heavier. And in typical Leaf fashion, when they show the replay in very slow motion, the Maple Leaf ball is like 1/100th of a millimeter from going up the chute and just bounces off, and then the Rangers ball goes. Which is typical Maple Leaf. So close.
Sorry.
Same thing happened to them when Connor McDavid came out. They had like an 80% chance on the last thing. No. They did get Austin Matthews, but then
nice consolation.
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather have Austin Matthews.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I
you like him now because he's been your guy for so long. He's become a favorite. No. I mean, Connor McDavid's the consensus best player in the world, isn't he?
I'm going to dispute that a little bit. I still think Patrick Kane's a better player than him. Also, American. See, I don't want to get on my Canadian conspiracy theories because the hockey media is all Canadian, and they absolutely overvalue Canadian players. Like Sidney Crosby, when he won the you get an award for best performance in the playoffs when they won the Stanley Cup. Phil Kessel was a better player. Phil Kessel should have won that award, but Phil Kessel's American, and it adds to Sidney Crosby's legacy. I think it's total BS. I really do. And everybody just assumes Connor McDavid's the best player. You know, he might not be the best player on his team. Leon Draisaitl had a better year. So, anyway, my point is it was typical Maple Leaf to come that close to getting yet another young superstar and come up short. Just like hitting an empty post the other night when you got a wide-open net.
Yeah,
John Tavares, thank you very much. But, yeah, always controversy. So, here's a story I wanted to get to. This probably should have been gem of the day. I forgot to move it up into the little gem of the day slot. Did you see this kid who in the Hamptons, whose parents found $100,000 in cash in his room?
No.
And forced him to explain where it came from? Okay, 20-year-old son in the Hamptons, stuck there for COVID. What would be your guess? Other than rich parents just giving it to you. That wasn't the case. I'll eliminate that.
Selling drugs.
That'd be my first guess, too.
Yeah.
Nope. Apparently, he'd been getting $5,000 a pop to hook up with these old ladies in the Hamptons.
Oh, boy. How old is he?
20 years old.
Oh, boy.
Which, man, I got to tell you, I'll go 90 if you'll give me $5,000 a pop. But yeah, he had $100,000 in cash. Parents thought he was selling drugs. And yeah, he basically said he'd been hooking up. He met a lady at a bar and she said, "Do you want to make some money?" And she said yes, or a restaurant, excuse me.
It was Applebee's.
It says a local sandwich and seafood shop. He'd talked to her about how he had tested negative for the Rona. So he said she paid for her order and said if he needed to make some money for the summer, she and her friends were looking for a young man to help out who was negative for COVID.
Hey now.
So yeah, he was smashing the olds for cash. And now the parents kind of suck. They are making him return the money.
What?
Yep.
He worked for that.
That's hard-earned money.
Yeah. Now they have a place in the Hamptons, so the first thing you'd say is, "Hey, I'm 20. I can keep what I want. Parents can't make me do anything."
But he's trying to keep in their good graces.
Yeah,
obviously.
Because I'm guessing $100,000 is tip money to the parents.
Yeah,
if they live in the Hamptons. So that's too bad. He should be able to keep his money. He worked hard for the money. Anyways, that should have been.
Should I have finished the song?
No, it's okay. Stew the body. I'll do a backflip into an 80-year-old for them. And hey, man, I don't have $5,000 a pop. So, somebody says that's some risky business type bleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tommy says poor Leafs. How about Red Wings? They got hosed last couple years in the draft lottery. You know what you have that the
They've
Leafs don't
cups.
Have? Stanley Cups. This century. My heart bleeds for you.
Wah.
And I didn't say they got hosed. I said it was typical Leaf to come that close. That's your Jason Braddock wife screw around on you thing.
Yeah.
That's the Leafs to me every year. Although I expect it. I like the creative ways in which they lose. So I thought parents are supposed to support your dreams and tell you that you can be anything you want.
Except a man whore.
And apparently not. For $5,000, I'd bang the old ladies and have an after-sex glass of Coleman milk.
Hey, brother, let me tell you something. Sex for money, it's a tale as old as time. I'll tell you something, brother. when I was a quarterback at the Dallas Cowboys, I'd have old men paying me to bang their old ladies out wearing my football helmet. But again, I was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, America's team.
It's the oldest perfection in the world.
It's the oldest perfection in the world.
I heard that somewhere.
What am I supposed to do? Idea?
Show heard that somewhere. Oh, man. Hockley Dan, booking my flight in the spring to the Hamptons now. Oh, Bill wants to know, did he give them receipts? How is he going to remember how much he gave to each granny? Grimjow getting tips and breaking hips. So that's a pretty good, that's a good slogan. I can't believe I didn't make that gym of the day. So I apologize, but the parents suck. I'd be like, okay, son, hope you use protection with these olds. That's all I'd really be concerned about.
Yeah.
And then I'd take my 10% for him living in my house. Just enough to wet my beak.
I think I would have come up with a lie. Like, if you were saying, well, why do you have this money? I would have come up with something different.
Want to play in poker?
Or, I mean...
That would be my go-to.
Yeah. Playing video games on Twitch.
That's a good one. That's a better one for that, for a 20-year-old. Yeah, you should have lied, kid. Although, parents, you kind of... Well, you raised a man whore. You did do that.
Oh, boy. You knew this was going to come. Kamala Harris, who is the new VP nominee. Now, Tulsi is trending on Twitter, and they're reminding everyone how Tulsi basically made her look unelectable at the debates when she said, oh, you're a prosecutor who targets nonviolent offenders and poor people, and you use prison labor for profit. And then from that day on, no one took Kamala Harris seriously anymore.
Yeah, well, that plus she looked like she was on drugs in the damn debates.
Right. Plus Tulsi, we got to admit, Tulsi would have been our hottest president. Hotter than John F. Kennedy. Hotter even than young Bill Clinton. Hotter than Obama. Who else was hot for a president?
Donald Trump.
Hotter than James Garfield. Hotter than John Quincy Adams. She would have been number one on the list.
What about Abraham Lincoln?
Nope. Hotter.
No.
Thomas Jefferson?
Hotter. But, alas, she wasn't to be taken seriously. She could have been our hottest vice president ever.
Yeah. Honestly, who watched those debates and thought, hey, you know what? Kamala Harris looks like she knows what she's doing. That's who I want. Great. 409 with a good point. What if sex with olds is the lie to cover up his drug business?
Sorry.
Yeah, except they're giving it back. Frodo beat
me. How embarrassing is that also if, like, you're an old lady who's paid this kid to come bang it out on you, and then he comes back with an envelope and is like, hey, my mom said I need to give you back this money. Like, that woman didn't want your mom knowing that you banged her out for $5K. She's like, hey, could you keep a secret? Maybe, you know, just a little bit. All we're asking for is a little bit.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Discretion? Is that too much to ask?
He's kind of a rat. He ratted him out.
I mean, he's 20. Like, there's
so? You can't excuse a rat.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's got to be a better excuse. Like, the poker thing. Say you went down to Atlantic City one weekend and won that money.
Except you're on quarantine. That's a problem. Yeah. I think AJ's Twitch thing was the way to go. I don't know. I'm a 20-year-old man. How are you going to take my money away?
Yeah. I'd move out if I had $200K in my pocket.
Yeah, but they may cancel your trust fund.
You know what? I'm going to go with I think this is a fake story.
It might be a fake story, Fred.
Yeah. All right. 713-70. Well, dog, imagine when they're running each other at the club. Yeah. And somebody else says Sarah Palin would have been the hottest.
Sarah Palin hotter than Tulsi? I don't think so. No. Sarah Palin's daughter? Yes. When they did the porno mockumentary of her.
The porn star who played Sarah Palin.
Was hotter than Tulsi, but not real Sarah Palin. And speaking of Sarah Palin, because Sarah Palin's from Alaska, it reminds me, my brother-in-law, who I've told you before, he lives in the wilderness of Alaska. He got picked up for a Discovery TV series that starts this month.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's like a bunch of people coming up and trying to hack it with him and his lady friend that live out in the bush together. And I mean, I don't really know much about what it's going to be, but it is going to be on Discovery TV. So my brother-in-law is going to be famous.
Interesting.
I would say we could get him on the show, but the only way you can talk to him is to talk to him on a sat phone. And basically, it's the most gigantic pain in the ass thing ever because you talk and you think he doesn't hear you, so you start to say something again. Then after the delay, he starts talking, and then it's just a nightmare. You would have to record it, and you would have to, at the end of what you're saying, you would have to say, stop.
And then go in and edit out all,
and then edit out all the dead time.
You know what you could do? Have the film crew hand him a phone.
Well, I think it's already done.
Oh, okay.
It's already been filmed.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he was going to film it.
No, no. It's going to air this month. It's going to air, I think, August 21st, maybe?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
I watched all those shows.
Well, you can watch this one. I don't know what it's called.
Well,
I'll tell you in just a minute what it's called, by the way.
Right now, you should tell them about Hoops.
That is an easy thing to tell people. And I will say, he doesn't have a Hoops goal out in the Alaskan wilderness, unfortunately, for him. This is a fantastic thing, though, if your kids are stuck at home, which my kids certainly are. Guess what they've been doing? Hooping it up every damn day. You know why? Because they've got the best goal in the whole wide world. They got it at ProDunkHoops.com. The thickest steel of any goal on the market. A tempered glass backboard so strong, Hoops guarantees that if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they're going to replace it for free. A rust armor finish and a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've even got a fully portable version if you've got a picky HOA. And they're all adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle. My 8-year-old can adjust it down from 10 feet to 8 feet. He's now trying to play on 8.5 feet because he wants to feel grown. He tries to play on 10, but the reality is he's too little. They have more fun when they're making baskets, and that's what it's all about. Get your new Hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. ProDunkHoops.com or 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Two segments left to go.
Time flies when you're having
fun.
Yeah,
you know what? It's been a fun show. We've been kind of all over the place. I learned something today.
What'd you learn?
I learned that dude in Houston media was a child rapist.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Too.
So I do have, I've been trying to keep things as positive as possible, but I do feel the need to share this. According to a new study, apparently we've kind of said it's hard to find any negatives to weed. Apparently, American Heart Association recommends that people not smoke or vape any substance, including cannabis products, because of the potential harm to the heart, lungs, and blood vessels.
Well, that's nice and all, but...
Claims smoking weed can trigger cardiovascular conditions or events such as heart attacks and strokes.
So isn't everything... Can't everything potentially have some kind of a downside?
Yes. Everything has a downside.
Right. Maybe like water... If you drink water, you're probably doing okay.
Unless it's unfiltered water, in which case you could probably get some kind of
disease. You never know. You've got to be careful where you get your water from.
Yeah, non-potable water.
But that's the whole point. Like, there's everything, you can come up with something that's not great for you. Like, if you eat too much asparagus, there's probably some kind of disease you can get from eating too much asparagus. So I'm going to go ahead and go, I'm not a professional, but... I'm going to say that weed is safe.
Well, I've,
I'm a doctor on the side.
I've done my own clinical study, which means actual usage. And guess what? Hasn't happened to me yet. Death. In fact, it's probably staved off death. In fact, it's probably staved off the Rona.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with, sorry, American Heart Association. I know that this is your study, my own personal study of one person. Weed beneficial. Weed good, other stuff bad.
I found the name of the show. It's called 100 Days Wild.
Okay.
It premieres August 21st at 8 o'clock Central on Discovery. And basically it says, in the new series rooted in nomadic lifestyle, 100 Days Wild follows a new generation who leave the comfort of their modern lives and homes to venture off into the Tanana Valley, which is 200 miles from civilization. Together, it's
pronounced Tanana.
Tanana?
According to another show on Discovery.
Okay, Tanana.
Tyler knowing that obscure crap.
Well, he watches a lot of these Alaska shows. He's into it.
I watch Gold Rush. I watch all these other
Isn't there like shows. Some kind of Alaskan trucker show?
But that
I don't watch the trucker, the Alaskan highway shows.
Okay.
But the Tanana Valley is like a pretty obscure, like it's pretty out there.
Yeah, it's very.
So for my brother-in-law to get the mail, it's like a two-day walk. So it's pretty hardcore. Those chosen to participate in 100 Days Wild have never met in person and will join Jennifer and Andrew, a couple who have set up an off-grid outpost who are looking for individuals to create their new community for the past 5 years. Enter independent pioneers Adam, Oliver, Jared, Christine, and Evan, a very interesting mix of people from different backgrounds, including an army vet, a sporting goods salesman, a homesteader, and a mountain man. They have 100 days to work together to hunt, gather, and build before the brutal Arctic freeze. Like the real world, they won't survive winter if they can't survive each other. So there you go. My brother-in-law's TV debut is going to be very famous.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll definitely
report
check
back.
Yeah.
This is my same brother-in-law who wanted to ride a bike and a raft. Like he had this raft that he was going to strap to his back and ride a bike from Oregon to Alaska. And he called it a fat bike rafting adventure. He had this bike that had big fat tires, and eventually there was something that worked. Like he waited too long to go, and it got to be winter time and he couldn't do it. He had to turn around, but he's often been into these adventures. He's kind of, he's what you would call eccentric. He lived on a boat for many years. He's that kind of a brother-in-law.
Was he the one that that whenever we were doing the Black Friday beer shopping?
Definitely not that one.
Not that one?
That one is a high school principal, or high school vice principal. Okay. He's a pretty relatively normal dude. This is her other brother.
Gotcha.
Who, He looks like he lives in the Alaskan bush. Like he's got a massive beard and long hair. He also looks like he could be in some sort of a death metal band. So that'll be interesting.
A lot of people say you can die from water. You can drown.
Oh, that's true. Little known fact about water.
So especially if someone's pouring a whole bunch of it down your throat.
Yeah.
You could die.
What about oxygen?
If it ignites.
I guess that's probably true, too. You could explode.
True.
Well,
you know what? You can't. This is why we can't have nice things.
Well, it sounds like we can't have anything.
Right.
Like steak.
Can't have weed. Yeah, you eat too much steak. Guess what you get? Gout.
Or you get a piece stuck in your throat, and guess what you get? Dead.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows how to do the Heimlich anymore.
I do.
Well, I don't eat steak around you, so I'm just going to have to die. So, pretty much everything can kill you. That's too bad. So, I'm going to go ahead and say weed good. Sorry, American Heart Association. Who are you going to believe? Me or the American Heart Association? when it comes to medical.
And quick update to that New Zealand 100 days without COVID thing. I was wrong where I thought that they had had a case, but apparently they just recorded their first COVID case in 102 days.
Yeah, somebody tweeted that at me earlier. It's like, ah, man, I jinxed them. 100 days, pretty good. Of course, now I think they're going to shut down everything again because they're pretty paranoid. New Zealand looks like a cool place. I'll probably not going to live long enough to get to go, but I think that's next on my list is like New Zealand and Australia. All right. One segment to go. Got a little Hey Man Bleep That when we come back.
All right.
I know you've been touting.
I had one from yesterday.
Yeah. So.
I might have a secondary one too.
Really?
Yep.
All right. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So is it Soccer Matters tonight?
Soccer Matters tonight.
Glenn Davis,
that's
the
right.
Greatest soccer show on radio. So
top five for sure on our station.
I think it's the best. It's tremendous. And Glenn does a great job. So for all of you stuck-up soccer snobs that told me I couldn't be a fan, listen to Glenn. Good for you. All right, let's do a little Hey Man Bleep That.
You want me to start?
Yeah, why don't you start?
Fellas, this is directed at you. Apparently, men significantly less or more likely to not wear masks than women. Specifically, the survey found that 34% of men compared to 54% of women responded that they always wore a mask when outside their home. 20% of men said they never wore a mask outside their home compared to just 8% of women. So what this poll, and this is according to a Gallup poll, it basically says that toxic masculinity is keeping the virus around. And obviously, when we look at guys like Tyler and Fred, who are good examples of toxic masculinity, you can see why. You can see why this disease is never going away. Says the men are more likely to die from COVID, and we still, quote unquote, don't know why that is. This is probably something to do with it. Just throwing it out there. With death in rising cases, it seems unclear what would convince more men to wear masks. According to bias, behavior, and health experts, the reason is simple. Masks aren't manly. I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, man, f*** that. It ain't that big of a deal, guys.
No, Well, I've been pro-mask all along.
Well, let me give my secondary mask.
Yeah, one quick thought on that. I'm going to do my own poll. All I see is Karen's on Twitter going nuts and only a few guys. So I'm disagreeing with their Gallup poll. Sorry.
A poll in England. Well, not a poll. A study in England is saying that if you have sex with anyone outside the household, you should wear a face mask and avoid kissing during intercourse. Would you put on a mask and have sex with a woman?
Yeah, she might think I'm attractive.
Tyler?
Yeah.
Let's go back to your single days. I know now you're locked into a relationship, which makes you way more boring.
Yeah.
But let's say in your single days, if a girl was like, hey, let's do this, would you say, all right, but we've got to mask up?
Yeah, why not? I think it would be funny.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I'm down.
All right. Well, there you go.
All right.
It does say limiting yourself to one partner will reduce the spread of COVID-19. So that part is good for you.
All right. Mine is, yet another movie that doesn't need to be made. All right. Raise your hand if you're clamoring for a new Dirty Dancing movie.
Oh, no.
Now put your damn hand down because you're lying through your teeth. And how about one with Jennifer Grey, who's older than I am now?
Yeah, but her nose isn't.
What's that supposed to mean?
She has a she got a completely different nose.
Did she?
Yeah. She, it was like sometimes.
Why'd she get rid of that beak? Now I disrespect. I have less respect for her. Like Cher kept her beak. Guess who's hotter? Cher. Why are you giving up your beak, Jennifer Grey? It's the only thing that made you even remotely attractive.
I never found Jennifer Grey attractive.
Well, I didn't either, but at least she had something going for her. She had something original. I've kind of veered off from where I was, but...
Jeannie Bueller.
Bueller.
She did make out with Charles Sheen in that movie.
Yeah, and she also has Patrick Swayze on, as a credit.
Drugs.
All right.
No, I don't have any drugs. I mean, are you in here for drugs?
There was actually a 2004 sequel, Dirty Dancing Havana Nights, which grossed $28 million worldwide.
Well,
2004, I was probably okay. It'll be exactly the kind of romantic, nostalgic movie that the franchise's fans have been waiting for, and that made it the biggest-selling library title in the company's history. Oh, my God. Fans have been waiting for this? If this is all you got, then there's a reason why Hollywood's dying. To that, I say, hey, man, f*** that.
Fred, we're two peas in a pod right now because I don't like remakes either. And I don't know about you, but I'm also especially not clamoring for a Three Men and a Baby remake, nor am I excited about a Saved by the Bell reboot, which has Zach Morris as a governor, and his son's name is, do you want to guess it?
Horace.
Mac Morris.
Damn.
E.C. Slater is going to be
Horace
in that one.
Horace Morris would be funny.
Oh, did you see who's going to be in the Three Men?
Yeah, Zac Efron, which that one's probably going to make $1 billion because he's in it, which I actually kind of like Zac Efron, but why can't they just...
Zac Efron's one of those guys where, when you're a man, you feel like you shouldn't like him. He's a pretty likable dude.
I thought Baywatch was actually pretty funny.
I didn't watch it.
It was decent, not as bad as everybody said it was, but why do we need a Saved by the Bell reboot? Why do we need a remake of Three Men and a Baby?
I think I'm the only person from my generation who didn't watch Saved by the Bell. Like, Saved by the Bell was a very popular show when I was a kid, but I just never watched it. I was busy watching Golden Girls reruns.
I watched it every morning that it was on.
Really?
Yeah.
I never found the appeal of it.
I guess maybe I was watching reruns at that point because I don't think that they actually had it running at 7 a.m., I think it was an afternoon show.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But either way, to that I say, hey, man, f*** that.
Hey, I like that you got your own.
Yeah, good job. Yeah.
I actually made it like months back, and I forgot about it, but it's in the system now. So
hey, good episode today, Fred.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It's funny.
I'm glad that you aren't the one who's been hiding your pedophile identity all these years.
Yeah.
I would have been really mad at you.
I think you're safe on that one.
You're trustworthy. Tyler, I'm going to give him a firm, I think he's trustworthy.
Whoa.
You were never a teacher, though.
No.
And Fred was a teacher, but in college.
I was in college, so my youngest
where you're allowed to bang the students if you really, really want to.
Which I did not do.
You didn't do, allegedly.
It's kind of encouraged
but
in
you
some
could've.
Colleges.
I could have, but I didn't.
Like on Animal House.
Yeah.
It's kind of gross. I still can't believe she did that.
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh, it was Donald Sutherland.
But he was like...
I didn't need to see Donald Sutherland's butt in that movie.
No. He looked gross naked.
Yeah, it's funny because you mentioned Three Men and a Baby. I was thinking, what the hell ever happened to Steve Guttenberg, who was in that movie? Which he Mary had that stretch, Police Academy, that. He was in Cocoon. He had like a whole bunch of hits there. Like all those Police Academy movies made money. And then after Three Men and a Little Lady, the sequel in 1990, dude's been making movies the whole time. I haven't heard of a single one of them.
I guess I kind of forgot that Steve Guttenberg, like had you said, who were the three men and a baby? I would have said Tom Selleck. Ted Danson,
yeah.
And some other
and
guy.
And that other guy. Yeah.
He's that other guy, huh?
Yeah, right. And he was a big star at the time. Probably not as big as those two. He was in Diner.
Like the Police Academy movies.
Those Police Academy movies were huge. Cocoon. Short Circuit was another one that was a big hit. I vaguely remember High Spirits in 1988. I think it was really bad. Then he did Cocoon the Return, which, all right. And then Three Men and a Little Lady.
So what's he done of note since Three Men and a Baby?
Since Three Men and a Little Lady in 1990, which was the sequel, I don't know that I've heard of a single movie. And he took like 5 years off between 90 and 95, and he did like three movies in 95 and two in 97 and two in 98. And, I mean, he did one called P.S. Your Cat is Dead.
Oh, that sounds great.
He's probably done 40 movies since then, and I've not heard of any of these. I'll just throw out, you guys tell me, just weigh in if you've heard of any of them.
All I've heard of is Mahoney from Police Academy.
Okay.
Period. I don't know what else he's ever, was he in, how many Police Academy movies did he do? Just the first two?
Four. No, he did four of them. He did Police Academy, Police Academy 2, Police Academy 3, Back in Training, Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol.
Okay.
Kerry Mahoney.
That was a good character.
He did Amazon Women on the Moon.
That sounds like a Skinamax type movie. Good for him.
Or like a weird Jim Carrey movie.
You want to know how bad some of these movies are? On Wikipedia, they don't have links to the movies.
Ooh, that ain't good.
And there's a bunch of them.
Oh, Steve Guttenberg, How the Mighty Have Fallen from your days on Three Men and a Baby.
Well, if it makes you feel better.
Is he going to be in the reboot? That would make me feel better.
No, but he's going to be in something called Rifkin's Festival in 2020 as Jake.
That sounds like a Harry Potter group or
oh,
something.
Oh, man, I didn't even get into his TV. It's the same thing. He was on last week tonight with John Oliver last week. That's why he popped into my head. I was wondering what the hell happened to that guy. All right, that'll do it. Good finish. Stay Rona free, bitches.
Good bookend.